The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Lotus Place on this Friday night, November the 20th, 2015. Greetings, peace, namaste, and all of that. And we are here at the end of another week. And tonight it is Black Butter Love, using astrology for love and relationships. Yes. Oh, that's mother. Hey. I'm hot, rather. I said hot on Friday. My eyes hot.
Hi.
How are you? Hey.
I'm great. Great.
Good. How's your weekend?
Absolutely wonderful.
Fantabulous.
Well, yes.
We should have King B calling in shortly.
Oh, okay.
King B has something that he wants to talk about. I don't know if he'll bring it up. He mentioned it
still
on Wednesday night. And it has something to do with sex. So, tonight we're talking about sex and relationships because we do want everyone to have a happy, healthy, and wholesome relationship with their partner, as well as your relationship, say for instance, like work relationships. So that's why I did want to talk about astrology. I know some people are not really into astrology. I've always been into astrology and zodiac because when I was growing up, I don't know if you experienced this, Mother Hattie, Icy Hot, but in the home, there was always like this zodiac plaque somewhere. It seems like Black people used to really be into astrology.
No, we didn't have no zodiac plaques in our house. No.
I wonder if it was just a regional thing. Or something, because I know I just recall seeing those zodiac plaques on the walls, and so it just became a part of my upbringing because I would just always see them, and then I just started reading books on. I used to read a lot of self help books and psychology books, even when I was very young. So I was just always into like personalities. That's my thing. I'm really into personalities and people. So I think that's how I kind of got more so into astrology. So tonight, are you building relationships based on your astrological compatibility with others? And that's, like I said, could be with a work relationship or an intimate relationship, because according to astrology experts, your relationships can work a lot better if you kind of have some idea of that person's personality. I find that it works well for me because, especially with relationships, I always like say, oh, when were you born? And they'll tell me, and I'm like, okay. So that kind of personality kind of sort of is like this. Not saying that the astrology and zodiac traits are 100% correct when I read them, but I do tend to find that people do have quite a few of those qualities when I read their zodiac or astrological sign. So, because I know I'm just so not compatible with Scorpio men, and it's just something about it. I don't know. They are attracted to my fire and my energy. I mean, which is just pretty much normal anyway. But anyway, They're always attracted to my fire and my energy, and it's like okay with them in the beginning. I find that Scorpio men are highly sexual, and I, as an Aries woman, I have a high libido. But after all of that, it's like there's no like real communication. So it's very, very difficult for me to like have this fun relationship with Scorpio men that I like to have with men. I like to have a fun, very energetic, very adventurous relationship, and I just don't find that in Scorpio man. Maybe I just have not met that right Scorpio man, but according to astrology, I'm just not matched up with Scorpio men. I match with Leos, Sagittarius, and I think Aquarius. So I do have some clips that I want to play. Mother Hood, I did text you today to ask you about your birthday, but you didn't respond. So I don't know what your birthday is. I know you told me before, but I can't remember. I need to write it down. So I didn't get a chance to pull it.
October 26th.
October 26th. I think it may be Libra. Maybe a Libra or October. But it's got to be the Libra or Scorpio, I think. So, but we'll see. We'll see. And we do have Aja on the line. Aja, how are you?
Namaste. How's everybody?
Wonderful, and beautiful. How's your week been?
Wonderful, as usual. I've had a great week. I've had a wonderful week. I'm good. I am good.
Excellent.
Splendid.
Excellent. Yeah, we have this African-themed baby shower to go to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. It's supposed to be like a royal baby shower, so that'll be something new and different for me. I'm looking forward to that. So we'll see.
Mother Hattie is a Scorpio.
Scorpio. All right then. Scorpio. Well, see, I can probably deal with Scorpio women, but you know, like men. I've had some Scorpio female friends, but relationships with Scorpio men just don't work. Not in love.
Me either. I can't do them.
Yes, you're a Leo too. So we have Leo and Aries. They have very similar personalities. Leos, Sagittarius, and Aries. They have very, very similar personalities. So yeah, I can kind of see that. So Delta probably will call in and give us some of our hot topics for the week. We do know that there was the Paris bombing, and we did play some clips on Wednesday about the Paris bombing and all that. And in Nigeria, there were several bombings. I think I just saw a clip where I think like 50 people were killed in a bombing. So, and these bombings happen all over the world every day, in particular on the continent of Africa. And we know what's going on in Palestine. So we just want to send out our prayers and condolences to all of those people who have lost loved ones, even in France, because some of those people don't have anything to do with these governmental policies and what some officials are pushing for. Speaking of which, now say this, we'll move on into our topic. With this Paris attack now, what's his name? Holland, I think it's Holland or something like that. The Prime Minister or President of France, he's now been able to extend some of his powers. And also now people are forced to allow the police in without any warrant. So many people have been arrested in France. It's in chaos. And people of France are losing a lot of their civil liberties as a result of this bombing. And that was something that I think probably was in the whole plan with this. Just like with 9/11, after 9/11, we lost so many rights. And in France, now what they can do is they can monitor more of your calls, monitor more of what you're doing. And in fact, I think it was one of the CIA members of the CIA said something about, we need to extend that over here too. We need to monitor more phone, like they're not already doing that, you know. And so, they were like, oh, we need to monitor more calls over here too. And even though they can't even verify that, like, encryption was used, any kind of smartphone encryptions and all of that was used in these attacks. So all of that, that's, like I said before, that's just precursor to bringing in different types of laws and eradicating more of our rights. So with that said, I would like to play a clip, unless someone wants to share something. You know what we have not done? We have not saluted people and given them the Black Star Award. So I don't know. Maybe I'll be able to find somebody that we can salute tonight. But if anyone has anyone that they like to send a shout out to or salute to, just let us know, and we will definitely do that. The call-in number is 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. Press pound. And if you would like to speak, just press *61, and we'll get you in. Believe me, we will get you in. So let me see. I want to start out with a clip from this lady. She says that she's, I found this on YouTube. Everybody know how I love YouTube. She says that she's a natural psychologist. So she is going to, which one did I say I want to play first? I think it's the Earth Signs, I believe. So Earth Signs, those people that are more connected to the Earth. And, oh, I should have had this pulled up, so let me just do this right quick. She's going to talk about Earth Signs, and let me see, the Earth Signs are who? Let me see, I forgot. Is it Taurus? I think it's Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. Those are the Earth Signs. So I want to play this clip about Earth Signs. And so are you basing your relationships just on like, oh, I like this person, they look good to me? Or do you go into relationships and say, I'm not compatible with this person. Oh, let me see. What kind of traits does this person have? Can I get along with those traits? Do I like those traits? Do I not like those traits? So that's kind of what I do. In terms of astrology, that's how I use it. I don't use it in like a really in-depth way, I guess you could say. With some people, maybe, I don't know, do other things with it. But I just say, let me just read about this person's personality and see if I can get along with this person. Let me see what kind of traits they have. Because there's just certain traits that I just can't deal with. I can't deal with boring people. I can't too much deal with lazy people. I certainly can't deal with people with a negative spirit. I certainly can't do that. What about you, Aja? Being a Leo, what about you?
In dealing with what now?
Compatibility. Going into a relationship. Does it matter
to
you?
Oh, sure. For real, yes. I'm sort of a free spirit. Okay, I'm a fire like yourself. I'm adventurous. I don't really mind taking risks. I'm my own person, although I tend to be kind of quiet, and I come across as passive to a lot of people. But I do not like people to. I do not like for a man to try to control me. I'm not a controlling person myself. But I like to be allowed to be myself. You know, some men have a tendency to say, you know, I want you to wear your hair this way. I want you to do this. And, you know, I don't like to be dictated to. You can suggest, but I don't like Capricorns tend to be very controlling. Scorpios men tend to be very controlling. So I may, by mistake, get into a relationship with them thinking, well, maybe I can deal with this. And then as the relationship goes on, it's like, I knew it. It's trying to control me. I can't deal with it. And so that's when the fire comes out in me, because I do have fire. Excuse me.
Right. Yeah, being a Leo, you're definitely one of those fire signs. And I know sometimes I see that fire come out.
Mm-hmm. Just don't rub me the wrong way. Don't rub me the wrong way.
Right. Okay. So let me see. Let me get this clip together. This is Earth sign compatibility. No. Earth sign. I want to play. Not that one. Let me get it together. Let's see here. I want to play. I think it's this one right here. Let's play this.
What up, guys? It's True Brilliance back with another video. I am going to get into my astrology series because I love talking about astrology. I'm a natural psychologist, so the first question I ask anybody when I meet them is, what's your sign? And from then on, I'll know how our relationship is going to go. I mean, that's just how in tuned, and that's how much I believe in this because it's so true. In this video, I'm going to talk about the earth element, and I'm going to talk about Taurus, Capricorn, and Virgo, which are the three earth signs. I'm not going to get all into the natal charts and all of that stuff, but the earth element, this video pertains to anybody that has the earth element really anywhere in their chart, but specifically if you have it in the sun, the moon, or the ascendant sign, because that you'll show a lot of earthy qualities that way. I personally have my moon in Capricorn, so I can relate to the earth element a lot. So starting off, the earth element, people that are of this element are very solid, responsible, kind of serious, business-minded, responsible. They get stuff done. These are your workers. These are your workaholics. These are the people that are very good at planning things and seeing those things through. The earth element is very dependable because when you think about the earth, it is the ground that we stand on. It's firm, it's grounded, it's solid. That's how earth people are. They're very solid, and earth people are usually very real. They usually, you know, they don't put on the airs. They tell you exactly how it is. They're very sober people. Especially Capricorn. But the earth element, people of this element are the builders of the zodiac. These are the people that can get things done. They're usually very good with business, and they're usually extremely well with making money. And they like their possessions as well. They're usually pretty in tune with their body since they're of the earth element. So that means that they are very sensual people, meaning that they're very in tune with the five senses, especially the Taurus people, because they are really ruled by the senses because they're ruled by Venus, which likes to take pride and pleasure. So to go a little bit more into each sign individually, we'll just start with Taurus. Taurus is your first earth element sign going around the zodiac because it begins with Aries, and Taurus is the second sign, which rules possessions and resources and values and valuables, so things that you accumulate and things like that. It just has to do with everything that we value in life. People that are Tauruses usually like nice things. They indulge in luxury. They indulge in everything. Like I said, they're very sensual people, so they love food. They love nice cars and having a beautiful home. They love beautiful clothes. And they're usually very creative and artistic as well. They have a natural artistic ability because of Venus. So Venus gives that extra boost there. Taurus people are usually kind of slow. And I don't mean that in the bad way, but they're kind of slow moving. They're very grounded. They may talk really slow. They may walk really slow. These are your people that are laid back, calm, cool, and collected. And that's really all earth element people. When you see them, they're the people that are solid. They're very chill. You know, they just like to chill. That should be one of the words in the life. I just like to chill. You'll catch an earth person saying that all the time. Very laid back, cool type of temperament. But don't piss them off, especially Taurus people, because they will go hard. Next is Virgos, which is the sixth sign of the zodiac, right after Leo. Virgos To me, honestly, Virgos, I don't want to say they're the least like the earth element, but they kind of are because they're ruled by Mercury, maybe. We're not sure. That's still up for debate. But they do, they are very much in their mind, so they think a lot. And they're kind of like all over the place, but they're phenomenal thinkers. But the reason why the Virgo is in the earth element is because they're very detail-oriented. So Virgos catch every single little detail. They need everything planned out. They need to know why this is happening. They're very precise people, and they don't miss anything. And usually they're very, like, cleanly. They like their surroundings to be clean, and they like order in their lives. Order is very, very important. If there's chaos going around on around them, then they lose their minds, and that's not good for them. But Virgos are great with, like, running errands, taking care of business. They make really great assistants because they usually have fantastic memories. And they follow through with what they say. You know, if a Virgo person tells you that they're going to do something, they do it. Very sincere people, and very sensitive as well. And last is Capricorn. Now, Capricorn is the cardinal earth sign, which is the 10th sign of the zodiac. These are your big business people, big business CEOs in governments, your president, your people that are running society. They're very great managers. They make better managers than workers. I can even say for myself, I hate working under other people. I always see myself in a manager position because I see the big picture and I see what needs to be done. Capricorns are very methodical. They plan things out. They like structure in their lives. They like hierarchies. You know, first I'm going to do this, and then this, and then this, and then this. You know, they're like builders. And they also take their time to do stuff because they like to make sure that they do things right the first time. They're very sure-footed. That's where the sure-footed goat comes from. Wherever they step, they need to make sure they're stepping on solid ground. And that's why that ties back into the earth element. So what does that tell you about the earth element? They're very security-conscious type people. Security is very important to them. They will never step anywhere where they cannot have their feet solidly on the ground. Very cautious as well. And, you know, a lot of people may say that they are kind of fearful because they don't really take risks that much. You know, they always want to make sure that they're backed up by something. So that can kind of get on some people's nerves, especially the fire element, because fire element people, they just jump into stuff without thinking most of the time. And so they really can't understand why, you know, the earth element is so cautious and why they want to take their time and why they're so fearful. So, yeah, you can see a lot of fire element and earth element people kind of clash and bump heads because they operate in two completely different realms. But yeah, that's just a little bit on the earth element. Hopefully, you know, if you have someone in your life that's of the earth element, this gave you a little bit more insight into them. My advice to you would just be don't push an earth person. They'll do it in their own time. But if you have one of these people in your life as like your partner or something like that, you really have a good person in your life because they're very reliable. And the earth element, they usually stick with you, you know, through thick and thin. Like I said, they're very reliable, and they're going to be there for you. They're very dependable. When an earth element person tells you they're going to do something, they do it. And they're very admired for that. They're very good, you know, caretakers and providers. So that's a really great thing. And also, if you want somebody to work for you or you want somebody on your team to help you build your empire, having a lot of earthy people around you is fantastic because you know that you can rely on them. You know that you can depend on them. You know they're going to be on time. If you, you know, tell them they need to be somewhere, they're going to be there. Unlike a fire element person that probably might not even show up at all. But I'll get to you fire people later because you guys have some great attributes as well. But that's just a little bit about the earth element. So leave your questions below. Bye.
All right, earth people, Virgo, Taurus, Capricorn, Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, and then Virgo, if you were born August 23rd through September 22nd, and then Capricorn, December 22nd through January the 19th. So, those are the Earth people. So, the way that I read into that is, well, I like what she said towards the end. If you want to have some people on your team that you can depend on, that are reliable, then, you know, you probably can count on a Capricorn, a Virgo, or a Taurus. And that's how I read into that. Somebody that's detail-oriented, that's a Virgo, good with planning. So those are the kind of people that I would like to have on my team if I'm working on a project. Someone like that, someone methodical, sure-footed, like a Capricorn. So I could work with them on that. But see, now, like relationships, I don't know. Capricorns are not risk-takers. I am a risk-taker. So I don't know. We may kind of bump heads with that. But I do like people that are detail-oriented. I do like that. I like artistic people. I didn't know the Taurus people were artistic. I've always thought of Taurians as just being stubborn and bullheaded.
Yeah, that's all you ever hear about them, being stubborn and bullheaded.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. Hello there, King B and Delta. Welcome
hey,
in.
Hey.
If you see another number, Black Rose, open it up. This lady just sent me a text from Minnesota, Miss Marie. She says she can't get in.
Okay. What number is she calling from?
She may be calling from a 612 or a 713.
A 713?
Yeah, I have 612. She just sent me a text that she can't get in.
Okay. Did you send her the text with the number in it?
Yeah, I sent her a text back to see what she said real quick.
Okay.
That's strange.
Yeah. She just.
Oh no! Oh look, she hear me talking. Her number is 763. You see that number?
Oh yes, I do. I see Miss Marie. I see Miss Marie. How you doing, Miss Marie?
I am blessed, lady. How are you doing? It's a pleasure to talk to you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
How are you?
Hello, Marie.
Hi. I'm very enthused about the astrology. You mentioned earlier about when you was coming up how the zodiac sign was around the house and everything. I came from that background, too.
Oh, you did, too. Okay.
Chicago, right. Yeah, my auntie had them just like everywhere. Yeah.
Chicago, you know, a lot of Chicago people have a heritage from Mississippi and Memphis. So that's what I was wondering, was it like just a regional thing or something like that? Because I know it was just like all over in Memphis and like Mississippi, some parts of Mississippi, Delta. But I know you always grew up as a first lady and Christian woman, even though a lot of astrology is in the Bible. Were you into astrology coming up? Do you recall the zodiac plate?
No. Like you said, we were taught not to do that. We were taught not to. We really was. But, you know, a lot of us, when we get older, you know, we seek things. And so I believe a lot of people down south have done it. Me, personally, I don't see anything wrong with it.
You know, the ancient Egyptians, they built the pyramids based on astrology. Every stone that you see in the pyramids was cut differently, and the stone came from elsewhere. And to this day, Japanese man and European man stand in the hot, boiling sun in Egypt, trying to figure out how did the Egyptians build the pyramids without any mortar or steel that stands at least 25 stories high today, and only because of modernization with the air pollution from traffic, all the stones begin to wither. But they used astrology to build the pyramids.
Yeah.
And most of our black pastors don't know this.
And some of them know it and they just won't speak about it.
Of course, it's a conspiracy to keep you deaf, dumb, and blind about our ancient Egyptian. Is it a funny thing? We are encouraged to go to the Holy Land, but never to visit Egypt.
Absolutely. Hey, let's take a quick break on that, Canty, and we'll pick right back up, because I'm so glad that you ingested that, because sometimes people think, you know, astrology and zodiac signs is all some kind of wicked stuff and things like that. But I would love, we're going to have a series of these shows on this astrology, and I do want to have, I'm going to reach out and try to find some people who are some specialists and experts in this area that can really connect not just the African history, but also the biblical references to astrology. So let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio?
It's good,
then go to BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Okay, we're back. Now, I just want to say this. If you're not speaking, mute your phone. And even when we go on break, if I don't mute your phone, you can still be heard. So we got to keep that in mind. So, yeah, keep some of the background noise down, or else I'll have to just go ahead on and mute you, because it does distort the sound. And it's kind of distracting. So, yeah. I think that was you, Miss Marie, talking about something
was
good.
It was.
That's okay. That's okay. We work it out. We work it out here. And Delta.
Yeah,
I want you to stay up and engaged. And if you feel like you're going to fall asleep, let us know so we can get you off the line, so we won't be calling your name like we have to do so often. Okay, Delta?
I'm so sorry. Y'all will forgive me.
Yeah, I know you work hard and you're always doing so much for everybody. So,
just like a Virgo.
You know what? That's right. Mm-hmm. Always doing something. Always doing something and trying
always
to make it happen.
Planning.
Always planning.
And always want to see something to the end. Always want to work it out and never can't stop working on it. It's something at you all the time. Once you get started on something, you can't let it go.
Now, I don't know what was happening with the Icy Hot line, because it looked like it was on mute, but then not on mute, and then it popped up. So, Icy Hot, I think you are off mute now. So, I'm not sure what was going on, but anyway.
Well, just technical difficulty, and it dropped me off, actually. I dialed back in. I think it was some technical difficulty, because it happened during the time Miss Marie and Delta Cougar were coming on, along with King D. So when those came in, something happened and dropped this off.
Well, we have you back now. Let me see. So, let's see. King B and Delta, we covered you with the earth sign. So, I want to go now to, and King B, when we get back from this video, I want to pick up on some of what you were discussing. So let me see. Let me play. And then, Miss Marie, when is your birthday, Miss Marie?
Mine is October the 1st.
October the 1st?
Yes.
Okay, October the 1st. That would make you, I think you're a Libra.
All day long.
Yeah, you're a Libra. Lovely Libra. The scale.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Balance. Thank you. So true.
Yeah. You're balancing it all out for everybody. Okay. All right.
so. Let me see. I have to find a Libra video. But let's see. Let's go with the fire sign. That's me and also Aja. We're the fire people, Leo and Aries. So let me see. Let me get that one up. Let me see. Fire sign. Oh, don't tell me I didn't download the fire. Hold on a second. Okay, we have water. Okay, here we are. The fire.
What up? So, to continue on with the astrology series, I am going to talk about the fire element now. So for all you fiery folk out there, my Leos, my Sagittarians, and my Arians, this video is for and about you. Or if people are watching, you're curious about the fire element, you got somebody in your life that is of those three signs and they have your mind boggled, you want to know what makes them tick, you want to know why they do the crazy things they do, well, I'm getting ready to tell you. So, the fire element. What is fire? Fire is warm. Fire is chaotic. Fire it will torch your ass. Fire is quick. Fire is bright. Fire is passionate. So, that says a little bit about the fire element. Fiery temperament. I am really getting an up close and personal view of the fire element because my daughter is a Leo with an Aries moon. So I have a little fireball in my household, and boy, I tell you, I have never had a better understanding of the fire element than I do now. So, you guys, the fire element is a very fun element. People that are fire signs, they love life. They have a zest for life. They're adventurous. They just want to live. They hate being confined. They hate being gated in. They hate being restricted. They love freedom. They just want to run free and play and have a good time, which is really what we all want to do. But the fire energy has an innate need to experience everything that they can experience in life. Does this get them into a little bit of trouble? Oh yes, it gets them into a lot of trouble because they leap before they look. A lot of the times they don't think before they do stuff. They are driven by their passions and their desires. So if they want something, they go after it directly, no questions asked. They'll think about it later, like, oh, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. But the passion of the moment drove me to do it. I mean, fire people are really not scared of anything. They're very, very courageous people. So if you're ever in a bar brawl or you're walking down a street, a dark alley, you know, with somebody, you'd want to be with the fire element because if something goes down, they'll probably be the one that'll have your back. They're really not scared of anything. They're very brave people and they're very bold too. You know, they just come right out and say exactly what's on their mind. But one thing you have to understand about the fire element is please understand that they don't do it on purpose. It is part of their nature to tell stuff like it is and just to come out and say whatever needs to be said. They do not do it to be hurtful like maybe someone of your water element may do, because the water element plays a lot of manipulative games and plays with a lot of people's emotions and stuff like that, which I'll get into in the water video. But the fire element is just very blunt. They express themselves fully. They're uninhibited. So they really live in the moment. If there's ever an element that is in the here and now, it's the fire element. They live for the moment right now. The only thing that is important to them is what's going on right now. As soon as they feel something or observe something, they blurt it out, they let it be known. They have no restriction, okay? And that's why I always say, like, the fire element and the earth element are, like, complete opposites, because the earth element is all about restrictions. Like, it's restricted in so many ways. Like, oh, don't say that, or oh, you're not supposed to say that. They're very concerned with being politically correct and polite and what you should do and what you shouldn't do. The fire element doesn't give a fuck about that. The fire element is going to tell you like it is. They're all right here. the fire element type people have nothing to hide. They have nothing to hide from you. They are who they are. If you like it, great. If you don't, kick rocks. That's the fire element. And that is one thing that I can respect about the fire element. So first we'll start with Aries, which is the very first sign of the zodiac. Aries people, now if there ever is a sign that jumps into stuff without looking, the number one sign is Aries. They really, really, really jump before looking. And so that can get them into a lot of trouble. That's why they're ruled by their head. They just jump right into things and don't give it much thought. They aren't the most responsible sign of the zodiac. They're usually very sporty people. They're very action-oriented, so they always have to be doing something physically with themselves. They have to be jumping around or running or doing something like that because they have a lot of pent-up energy. They're like little fireballs. Okay. Next is Leo, which is the second fire sign. And Leos have to be the center of attention. They're like the fire that, the campfire that everybody sits around and watches burn or something like that. That was a kind of stupid analogy, but you get what I'm trying to say. Leos like to be the center of attention. They feel like it is their sole purpose in life to radiate energy to everyone and to just be the center of everything and to give off their love and light to everyone and for everyone to see them shine. But what a lot of people don't know about Leos is they're extremely sensitive. They are ruled by their heart, so that makes a lot of sense. They are extremely sensitive to praise. So if you're not giving them their proper praise or their proper respect as king or queen, they get their feelings hurt or they get kind of down on themselves. So you have to like continuously fan the fire with Leos is what I noticed. Like you have to sit around them and continuously build them up and, you know, make them feel like the king or queen that they are. And otherwise they're like, well, what the hell am I burning for? You know, what the hell am I this big, beautiful ball of fire for if nobody's acknowledging me, if nobody's praising me? And it's all innocent. Leos, I love you. Like I said, my daughter is a Leo. I get it. Next is Sagittarius. Sagittarians are really more on the adventure side. They like to travel. They, even if it's just traveling, going to the grocery store, just going around their city, you'll just catch them always doing stuff. They're always going from here to there. They like to go places. They like to see new things. They're very into different cultures and just kind of the diversity and stuff like that. They like that kind of thing. Also, they're ruled by Jupiter, so they tend to overindulge and overestimate themselves. It would be good to say that Sagittarians have a little bit too much faith in them, because keep in mind, Sagittarians or the fire element in general, they have a lot of self-confidence and they have a lot of faith in themselves. Sometimes too much faith and too much belief, and it can be called blind faith because they just believe that everything is going to go good. They don't have to worry about anything. They just want to have fun and forget responsibility, and then that's when everything comes crashing down on them. So, you know, and Sagittarians really, really overestimate themselves and go way too far out there, and then somebody has to pull them back in because they shoot really far as like their dreams and the things that they want in life. They have really, really big dreams, but sometimes those big dreams are not backed up by practicality. And they don't really want to do the work that they have to do to accomplish their dreams. They just want their dreams to just appear before them and just live the high life without really doing the work. So that's something Sagittarians have to watch out for. But Sagittarians are also very, very smart. They're very philosophical. They're great teachers and all of that. And they just have an all-around good energy, you know. So that's a little bit about the fire element. If you have any questions, just post them below. And again, this is just a very, very big generalization. So, like I said, this is mostly going to pertain to people that have a fire sign on their sun, moon, or ascendant. Okay? All right.
Hey, yes, I'm here now. And that was the fire sign. Speaking about the fire sign, Leo, Aries, and Sagittarius. Fire people, just a ball of fire, just running around with all of this energy. And, oh my God, I know I have my little sparks quite often, and sometimes it just takes a lot to just bring me back down, you know, just like controlling a real fire. So I have to definitely work on that. So that's why it takes a strong personality to be able to work with me. What about you, Aja? Leo, could you relate to anything in the video what the natural psychologist spoke about?
Yes, and double E.
Oh, really?
I have a lot of energy. I have a lot of fire. I really have to have a strong male partner. I know I said I don't like control, but there's a difference mm-hmm. between controlling and being, you know, being strong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very adventurous. I love to do things. I like to. You know, I'm spontaneous.
Yeah.
I do like attention. Yes, I do. I do like
Ooh,
attention.
Oh God, I do too. I
love praise because I'm always doing something. I'm always doing something for somebody. Mm-hmm. I like to be positive. I like to spread my positivity among other people. And what gets me is when I'm not appreciated. You know, it's not appreciated. Uh-huh. That's like, didn't you just see all that I did?
When Leos do something, or if they have on some kind of new hat or new shirt, they want you to say, oh, I like your hat. Oh, I like your shirt. You know, you have to like really stroke them, just like a male lion. They just want you to just be in awe of their beauty. And I had this Leo friend, oh my God, and he was just, it was just always a constant, let me give him a compliment, let me give him a, ooh, did I remember to compliment his new shoes? Oh, did I remember to compliment his shirt? Ooh, did I tell him he smells good? Oh, did I make mention that, oh, I noticed you trimmed your beard. I mean, Leo, they just always want you to just, you know, oh, fawn over them and tell them, oh, you did a great job, great job. So, yeah, I noticed that in Leo, definitely.
Yeah, when I get a new pair of shoes, I will say, sure, you like these shoes? You like these shoes?
Yeah.
They're cute, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are they cute? You'll say.
Yeah.
Yes, Leo, they're gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
They're
yeah.
gorgeous, Leo.
Yeah,
and then I'm
gorgeous.
Done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
Then they strut away like, yeah, mm-hmm. I know
yeah.
I look good. astrology comprises several systems of divination, which are based on the premise that there is a relationship between astronomical phenomena and events in the human world. Astrology has been dated to at least the second millennium BCE, with roots in used to predict seasonal shifts and to interpret celestial cycles as signs of divine communication. You know, what's his name? Ronald Reagan was known to consult an astrologer in terms
yes.
of decisions. He would make him and his wife, him and Nancy.
Yes, yes.
They consulted a specialist, an astrology specialist. Let me also share this too. Let me see, because I did pull this up. In Isaiah 47:13-15, it reads, all the counsel, this is from the Bible, Isaiah 47:13-15, all the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month. Let them save you from what is coming upon you. So that's one reference. And I'll try to pull up more. But the Bible is filled with astrology. Filled with it. Filled with
it. It sure is, yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
filled with it. It is. If you dig deep down into that Bible, you'll see. And there's so many connections when you think of the 12 signs of the zodiac, I've even heard people give lectures on the 12 signs represent, well, the 12 disciples of Jesus represent the 12 signs, and then you have the four different, what we're going through now, the four different elements, the fire, water, earth, and air, and those elements represent the four seasons,
mm-hmm.
Spring, summer, fall, and winter, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a lot of little references and connections when you really kind of get down into it. And I used to just really, really study a lot of that. I've lost a lot of that knowledge over the time because I was around so many people that said, oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you know, don't read that. That's evil. That's wicked. You know, and all of this. And it's, I'm not going to say it's not. I'm just going to say, you know, you have to learn and believe and study and do what you feel is in your heart. I'm not trying to push astrology on anybody. We're just talking about tonight, the fun aspect of it, of meeting your mate, and can you get along with this person based on their personality.
Well,
that's what we're talking about. Yeah, what's up, Del?
Well, you know what? I was just thinking, a lot of times you can seek out someone, try to match up with your astrology. But
uh-huh.
some of them jokers just won't do right.
They sure won't, will they, Deb?
And do you know what? And they sure know how to deceive you and play the part and play the role.
They'll
play the role until they, when they're courting you, they'll play that role. And once they play that role and they get you, once they take you to the altar, that's it. They said, come home, sit on the couch, and you can't hardly pry them up off the couch.
I know. That's like, I heard this one story. This one lady said this man, or somebody told me this story. This man, you know, he treated her like a queen, a princess. I mean, everything was beautiful, you know, love, donuts, just everything, just perfect, perfect, perfect. And when they came home from the honeymoon, do you know that man started beating her? The day they came home. And I know that happens to quite a few women, you know, and that's quite unfortunate because, you know, you can be with someone and date them for, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 years or whatever. And then when you come home and marry that person and all that,
Well, you know what, Black Rose, I'm not talking so much about beating. I'm talking about loving.
Love.
I mean, you know what? They can come home. I mean,
uh-huh.
you can date and have a nice time and everything.
Uh-huh.
And boy, they be about to eat you up during the courting stage. But once you come home and you be married for about 2 years, the
uh-huh.
honeymoon is over. Not no
uh-huh.
fighting or anything like that,
uh-huh.
but the romance and all that's gone. It's out the window.
It's out the door.
And see, and that's where a lot of gentlemen make their mistake.
Uh-huh.
Once they think when they hook you
uh-huh.
and marry you, they think, oh, that's it. I ain't got to do it no more.
They'll have to do
but they don't realize. But they don't realize.
No more dates.
Uh-huh. No more nut. They don't realize that body ain't stopped craving.
Oh.
And it haven't stopped craving. And they just sit there like a knot on the log. And a lot of times, I don't know what can you do to put out the fire. You can't sneak out the house and put out the fire because somebody may get hurt.
That's a good way to put it. You have clever ways of expressing your thoughts. I just love it, love it, love it, Delta. But that's so true, though, because, you know, and that goes on both parts, men and women, because I have some male friends, and they tell me about how, when we were dating, she used to wear lace bikinis, and now she wears big white Walmart bloomers. You know, and when we used to go to bed, she had
I guess that's me.
Oh, well, wait a minute now, see, and then you're talking about how they just sit on the couch. Now, come on now.
You got to do your part, too, Delta. You have to do your part. Whatever you were doing to attract him and to get him to be in this loving romantic stage, you've got to continue to do that.
Can I answer one of her questions that she just asked, though? She said, what else can you do?
Okay, yeah.
Now, we were in Bible study tonight, and actually, out dilly do's and toys for sexual arousal.
Wait a minute, hold up, wait a minute, because you kind of went out. Y'all started talking about toys, sexual toys, and Bible study?
Yep, we make our Bible studies reality.
I'm coming up there. I'm coming a minute.
That's the way we do that at our church.
Yeah, you gotta make this stuff work. You gotta make this the reality of what people's lives are. So, we were talking, and some people there talked about our discussion was about, do you use them if you're not married to refresh yourself and what have you.
Wow.
So we were just saying that, prospectively, you're just arousing yourself unnecessarily because, what do you do after that? But to answer Delta's question, a married person, that's a whole nother different subject.
Married people use toys?
Okay, this is what I was taught. I used to have at my church. We was taught that it was a sin to use toys. They told us it's a sin to use toys. But
you're Church of God in Christ, right?
I'm Church of God in Christ, and they told us it was a sin to use toys. But he teach us this. He says that women need to stop. Now my pastor teach this. I like the way he teaches this. He said women need to stop not fixing themselves up. He said, I'm a man. He said, and I have a wife. He said, and I'm trying to explain to some women. And his wife be there, because she get up and say her part, and he get up and say his part. But he said, women need to start fixing themselves up. A lot of the women don't fix themselves up. And a lot of the women don't... in which they do, they don't fix themselves up. He said, just because you say you saved, you still have to fix yourself up. He said, now what you do in your bedroom is your business. He said, it's not my place to come in your home and tell you what to do in your bedroom. He said, the only thing I don't believe in you going and using all these old toys, but now I'm this away. And I'm Church of God in Christ. Now, if I want to get my freak on, and I want to watch me some movies, now I'm just being honest. I'm keeping it real. That's my business.
It certainly
that's
is.
My business. It's what I do in my house is my business. Now, and I don't see nothing wrong with it. As long as I'm not going out and hurting anybody, whatever it takes to get something, to get the two coal fires to light up some fire. that's what I need to do. So he just told us what you do in your home is your private business, and he said you don't discuss that with nobody anyway.
So why did he say that using toys is a sin if what you do in your home is your business?
Because
that's his personal preference.
But no, this is how it come about. Okay, see, when you have Bible studies. And we have marriage ministry. This is how it goes. We have marriage ministry. And when you get up, everybody takes their questions and put them in a box. So he goes to keep people from being in bed. Yeah, this is how it is. So see, let me tell you something. A lot of women, I put like in my organization and at my church, we taught I don't even know how the word to say. We taught that the man take over and you kind of sit back a little bit. That's kind of weird. But with a lot of women want to say something, they want to ask something, but they be shamed. So the pastor tells everybody, nobody puts your name on anything. Drop it in the box and you put it in the box. and I'm going to reach in there and I'm going to answer. I'm going to read this question off, and then everybody voice their opinion on that subject. So somebody wrapped a question in the box, and the question was, do you think using toys is a sin? And that's how the question came about.
Wow.
And so he answered the question.
Uh-huh.
He answered the question. He said he thinks toys is a sin. But he said, what you do in your bedroom is your business. I can't come and tell you how to do your bedroom.
Let's pick back up on that right after the break there. So let's pick right back up where you just stopped.
Okay.
Come back off the break. You're listening to the Lotus Place on Black Talk Radio Network.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right. And so, Delta, he said that it's your business, what you're doing in the bedroom. Now, I like the fact that everyone is able to, like, write down a question.
Yeah, because so that way you won't get, see, a lot of women, like me, a lot of women, we want to ask us, but we're afraid. And we, because we know what the church believes, and I like that, where you just put it in the box and you don't have to, nobody, because if you stand before the church and you ask that question out in the open, then everybody going to go to staring. You get what I'm saying? So he figured out a way to put it in the box. Then nobody puts their name on it. Nobody know where it come from. When the church is packed, we just reading off the question. And then when you take the question out the box, everybody voice their opinion on it. But see, we all already know that his wife, and I believe my pastor, now this is my opinion now, I believe my pastor likes to lick some ice cream. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. I don't think there's nothing wrong with it because my pastor, I don't think he's but 2 years older than me.
Uh-huh.
But this is how we figured it out, that he likes to lick ice cream, because the wife made a statement out and he almost went in the flow. And the wife said, oh, I couldn't wait till he got home. She said, because I wanted to lick him from his head to his toe. And he almost fell off.
Oh, boy.
Talk about erotica in the church.
She got called up. And the man gave the woman a look, and we all were killing ourselves laughing on the inside because we know, hey, they getting their freak on too, and they trying to tell us about this and that, but they getting their freak on.
Exactly.
Why would your wife make that statement? I can't wait to get him home. I'm going to lick him from his head to his toe. So then it means baby, and they doing a lot of licking because my pastor wife weighs every bit of 300 pounds. He's doing a lot.
Serious flavors there, boy. All kinds of flavors.
But you talking about a pretty woman. That is a pretty, pretty woman. That is a pretty woman. But when he married her, he said she wore a size 4. And I started having no. No, he really did. He said she wore a size 4.
Uh-huh.
And she started having kids. And women know when you start having kids, you gain weight. But it don't matter. He loved that big woman. That big woman loved that little bit old 4-foot man. And they just had this along. But yeah, they get their freak on because she let it
happy licking.
And then he said, then the woman, the pastor told the women, I guess the men must have said something. See, he'll preach on what the men said. And he said, y'all need to start, fixing yourself up, get them rollers out of your head. And he said, and I like, see, this is how he put it, and we know he's talking to us. He said, I like a lot of wives to go out and buy nice lingerie, real nice lingerie. I don't want my wife wearing no dresses and stuff every time you look up down to her knees. I want my wife to wear nice lingerie. But listen, somebody said the wife put on high heels. Now, you can imagine that big old woman putting on some 3-inch high heels and walking around in them, what you call them, G-strings in the house.
Nothing wrong with that. She's trying to keep her husband.
That adds flavor. Mm-hmm. Adds flavor. Yes, indeed.
Certainly
keeps him happy. Keeps him happy. And he's happy. He's making her happy. And they're both happy.
There ain't nothing wrong with it because I like the full package, you know. I don't discriminate.
Right.
I don't discriminate.
So if she's walking around in her heels and her little negligees and thongs and whatever.
And perfume.
And her oils and all that.
Mm-hmm.
She's keeping it live and spicy in the bedroom. And Matanga is going to come on and talk to us about some more tantra teachings and keeping it live and sexy and some sex tips and all of that a little bit later on in the show. So, King B, I know that you will enjoy that segment of the show. So,
want to say about the high heels. No need wearing high heels in the evening if you get ugly toes. Take care of those toes, ladies. Take care of those toes, ladies. No Flintstones tonight. All these Koreans. With these stores with their nail polish, you can now have these foot beautification with the ugly bunion removed. Now, don't do both feet at the same time, ladies.
Don't
my next door neighbor,
at the same time?
Both feet at the same time, removing the bunion.
Okay.
I got a neighbor of mine, she had both feet operated at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw her getting out the cab. I felt so bad for her. I made sure I let her go up the elevator without me being on the elevator. But she lived right next door to me. And every time she took a step, she would groan. And both feet operated on at the same time. I said to myself, like Bernie Mac used to say, this is so some of a bitch. You know. You're going to have both feet operate at the same time. You know, and it takes a while for that foot, just that one. Now you got both feet. I mean, like, I always say, it's nice to enhance your beauty, but don't do it foolishly where you're now in unnecessary pain, needlessly, when you could just have the pain and adjust to that one foot to you. Then get your nerves up to have the second one. You know, a lot of these bunions has a historical background where black folks couldn't try on the shoes in the deep south and parts thereof because it was if you didn't have the right size when you went to the shoe department, you couldn't try the shoe on to see if it fit right because blacks was not allowed to try on shoes.
Right.
So they were forced to wear shoes that was tight fitting and then came there. That's why you got these bunions.
But I'm gonna tell you, can I say something, Black Rose? I agree with what King B say, because you know what, I this something have all in you. You know, I may have told this story before, but this is how profound this story have stuck with me. I was working on a job, and when we all took our break, and it was this gentleman came out. It was a white gentleman. It was some black. It was all black ladies and a couple of white ladies. We was all sitting out there on our break, and we all just got to talking. And this man said, and we was talking about life, and then we went off into something else. But anyway, the man said, the first thing he do is when he get ready to date a woman. And I think King B like this too, because I can tell King B always talk about them rough foot.
Yeah.
And the man said the first thing he do, he don't even look at a woman's face. He said the first place he look is down at her feet. And he said he look at the back of her heel, and he look at the front of her heel. He look to see if her feet are kept up. And if her feet is not kept up, that means she is not a good caretaker of her body. So women, we must keep our feet looking good and get all that crud off the back of our heels. Cause we have enough crud on there to, the ski ball, the rub off the back of our heels to put on our table salad or sprinkle it on our salad.
Oh my God.
I see, during the summertime, I've seen women wearing these suggestive sandals, but the feet look like they were kicking up sand, they were kicking up flour. Now, what's up with that? I mean, like, you want to look sexy wearing those provocative, suggestive sandals, but your feet look like, you know, come on now, you know.
They're out of order. They're completely out of order.
Out of order. Some of these people, some of these women, they got all of this different toenail polish color.
I don't mean to cut you off, but somebody sent me a text and they want to ask a question before they go. And their area code is 763. Can you let her ask her question before she go right quick? She wants to ask something about a male and a female. So we can answer her question before she go.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. 763. Is that Miss Marie?
Yeah.
Don't call her name. Go ahead and answer.
Too late.
No,
we remember your number anyway.
Okay, so that's not Miss Marie, that's somebody else. Okay.
Oh yeah.
All right. Caller from 432. Your mic is open. You have a question?
Oh, me? Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Libra, and my mate is a Aries, and I was just wondering.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to know about the compatibility?
Yes.
Okay, so Libra and Aries. Okay. Let's do this. All right.
Okay.
So Libra and Aries. Oh, let me do Libra woman and Aries man. Let's do that. Okay, one second. I love reading this. Okay, so Libra woman and Aries man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see here. Let's do this one. And we'll read this for you.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me just get it out. All right. Aries man, Libra woman, love compatibility. When the well-balanced and charming Libra falls for an innocent and adorable Aries, they usually blend in harmonically with air, giving right amount of oxygen to keep the flames of fire high. So Aries may envy the Libra at times, but it's more of a mutual admiration rather than disagreement. Aries man may look very stern and insensitive, but he wants everyone to like him, which he usually earns from his attractive and manly personality. He is born to win, and he wants everything to be more than perfect for himself. He has instant strings of love and attachment for his Libra woman, but for her, things should be analyzed and balanced well. His feelings are raw, but at the same time pure, which is usually appreciated by the Libra woman. An Aries man always admires his Libra female and is completely trapped in her tender, feminine magic. A Libra woman is no less than a charmer who can get miracles done just with her divine smile. She has the basic instinct of tactfulness and clarity of thought, perfectly blended with her charm and gentleness. She is one person who can guide anyone through most difficult roles without dominating and dictating the turns to be taken. This makes her a perfect match for an Aries man who hates to be controlled. She always startles him with her marvelous magnificence and strong balance. The Libra woman is quite a lot of a lady with powerful admirable of luscious sophistication, excuse me, and masculine fortitude. Aries man is one person who loves to take the challenge of the Libra woman and smoothly win her heart with raw courage and romantic nerve. Having her as his lady love, he is blessed with a constant admirer, a perfect homemaker, and a lovely advisor who never wants to overshadow his decision. She is a true companion for him, with such poise that he can't free himself from her magical grip and delicate grace. The only one thing that sometimes irritates him is that his Libra lady doesn't support him blindly. And, let me get this off of here. Okay, she doesn't support him blindly. And, give me just a second here, my computer's moving. Okay. Let's see here. What was
that? And tries to balance each and every situation around him. But she is one lady who never criticizes him, and when needed can be a great listener to all of his problems and stand by his side to make him stronger and sturdier. The Aries man is one person who can be influenced only by the lovely Libra lady and can reach great heights of success. He usually loves all the qualities of his Libra female and is always ready to patiently listen to the things that she wants to discuss about. She adores the way he treats her and keeps her engaged in one thing or another. He can fill up her with much enthusiasm and make her feel the life in a way she never felt before. Their deep love is reflected in their every action and thought. Seems like a very good relationship. Care and affection comes to them naturally with all the long, rosy talks and delightful smiles that tinkle forever in their lives. The charming maiden can bring new flame to the Aries' ambitions, giving him incredible energy to become a campaigner for all manner of goodness and glory. The blend of fire and air provides ultimate happiness in their physical relationship, making it more and more intimate and warm day by day. Is any of this kind of sounding kind of true for you?
Caller?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, we can hear you now.
Yes, it's wow, precise.
Okay.
She always loves some sort of
me.
Yes, that's good. That's great. That's great.
She can be challenging sometimes. She's spoiled.
Mm-hmm. Really?
She's spoiled, but very loving and generous. Very generous hearted and protective.
Okay, I'm trying to find which other ones you're compatible with. It does sound like you're very compatible with an Aries man. Certainly. Let's see here.
Let me read this last part,
Black Rose.
Though the argumentative, because there's always, some kind of, glitch, the argumentative attitude and the temperament of Libra is a challenge for him and can cause, who's the Aries, the female or the male?
The male.
The male.
Okay, the male is the Aries. Okay, though the argumentative attitude and the temperament of Libra is a challenge for him and can cause differences in the relationship. At the same time, the egoistic behavior and selfish approach of an Aries is something a Libra cannot justify and finds very tough to handle. So.
Ooh. Oh, okay. And let me see. Libra. Let me see.
Hey, I found what to handle the last part.
Oh, we'll have Matangi. After our last break, so about the last 30 minutes, so.
Hello?
Mm-hmm. Can you hear us?
You're going, no, you're going in and out.
Yeah.
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 I didn't get the last part.
Oh, we'll start on that segment about 10:25 or so, towards the last 30-35 minutes of the show, because we want to give Batangi plenty of time to talk to us about keeping it hot and spicy in the bedroom. So,
all right.
Yeah, you want to tune back in because, you know what,
I ain't going nowhere now.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Let me see, I did want to find something else, but I tell you what, while I'm looking for that, let me play this little clip on, let me get it up. Let me see. Let me pull this one up. Because we want to help everybody find the right mate. You need to be with the right person, somebody you're compatible with. You know, don't keep getting with these people that you're not compatible with, and then you wonder why the relationship not working.
He'll also be the most sensitive, romantic, sentimental, affectionate, and passionate lover she could imagine. That's great.
Ooh.
How about me?
It sounds like it. Yeah, Libra.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me see. And Libra is, what is Libra? Water. Is Libra, I think Libra is a water sign. Probably Libra. So let's play this.
Hello, you guys. True here. So today I'm going to talk about the water element in astrology. I saved this video for last because the water element is the most complicated element to describe. Because the water element, people that are ruled by water are very much chameleons. So they change moods a lot, which means they change character a lot. So the water element really is like the hardest element to guess. Because usually when I meet people, I can like right off the bat, you know, say whatever sign they are. But the water element really can act like an air sign, a fire sign when they're overly emotional and going off and pissed off, they can be fire. And they can also act like an earth sign. They can be very serene and stable and kind of quiet. So it's very hard to pin down a water sign. But the water element is very fluid, so it changes shape to adapt to whatever environment that it is in. That's why water sign people can seem like chameleons. And some people mistake them for being fake, but they're not fake. It's just that the water energy is a very sensitive energy. So they can feel whatever is going on in the room, whatever is going on with people, they can feel. So they learn how to adapt to whatever feeling or mood somebody else is in. They are reflectors. They reflect whatever their environment is in. So a lot of people wonder why water people are so moody and shit like that. Usually it's not the water sign being moody. Usually it's the environment that they are in. And they're feeling like negative vibrations or negative energy, and it causes them to be moody because, like I said, they're very sensitive. And a lot of people get it wrong. When I say sensitive, people automatically get the idea in their head that they're just soft and pushovers and don't have a backbone and they cry all the time and they're just super emotional. No, that's not true. Water signs will get in your ass when it comes time to do that. They're very strong people. Sensitive also means just like sensitive to their surroundings, sensitive to what's going on around them. They're very sensitive to energy. Their auric field or whatever is less dense and less hardened than other people. So it's very easy for them to take on other people's issues and other people's problems because they're like sponges, but they can't help it because that's their nature. So my advice to people out there that have water people in your life, just please be very sensitive to their needs and just understand that they're very sensitive people. I know sometimes they can be moody, but honestly, when water people are in a good mood, they're the absolute best people to be around. When they're in a bad mood, they can cause hell for you. But to some people, that's what they love about the water element, because you never know what you're going to get with the water element. Like I said, they can be anything. So water can be steam, it can be fog, it can be ice, which means it can be hard, it can be anything. take the ocean for an example. Water people are like the ocean. They can appear, they can be calm and serene, and they could be a wild, raging waves. And, you know, their emotions are very, very deep. They feel things on a deeper level than most people. And so that's another thing I want to say to all the other elements out there. If you don't have much water in your chart, you need to understand about water people that they feel things on a way deeper level. So something that may not be a big deal to you may be a huge deal to them, because they're feeling things at a deeper level that maybe you can't understand because you're not in touch with that realm. So basically, the water signs are very in touch with their emotions. They're very in tune with the way they're feel. They're not ignorant to what's really going on beyond the surface, because what is water? It's everything that's going on below the surface. It's a subconscious mind. It's the things that are not as aware. So water people end up taking on a lot of baggage. They end up taking on a lot of crap because they are like the receptors for all of like the negative shit that's going on. So just to go through all the water signs, Cancer is the first water sign. I am a Cancer myself. Cancers are probably the most changeable water sign. They're the most moody water sign. So
actually, caller, you are a Libra, which makes you an air sign, and I finally did find what I want to read for you. Best matches for what you say? Thank you. Best matches for a Libra are actually an Aquarius, a Gemini, or a Sagittarius, and your worst matches, which the Aries does not fall into, your worst matches either. Your worst matches, though, would be Pisces, Cancer, or Taurus. So let me just read just a little bit about your best matches. So like with an Aquarius, a Libra and an Aquarius, both the Aquarius and the Libra love socializing, talking, and being around people. But their social life as a couple will be rich, full, and rewarding. They will also enjoy pursuing and sharing their individual ideas and pursuits with each other. Libra's natural diplomacy also helps to counteract Aquarius's natural stubborn streak. And together, these two will find it easy to reach a compromise when rough patches arise. So an Aquarius person is good for you. Now, Gemini, when it comes to romance compatibility astrology, Gemini and Libra together make for one of those ideal unions. They are perfectly suited for each other intellectually, sexually, and socially. Both value variety and enjoy a wide range of interests. Neither is overly jealous. Both Libra and Gemini are full of passion when it comes to everything they do. This will be a harmonious union, guaranteed to last and last. Well, you might need to find you a Gemini. And then Sagittarius. Okay, Sagittarius, charming Libra and fiery Sagittarius can be assured that they will never be bored with one another. Libra knows how to find things interesting for adventure-loving Sagittarius, while Sagittarius, with its strong love of intellectualism, will be more than able to provide Libra with the mental stimulation it craves. As long as Sagittarius does not allow its love for independence to interfere with Libra's need for a stable, reliable partner, this union has the makings of a partnership built to last. Yeah, there you have
it. When I had one of them, that didn't work too well, but it did last.
Okay, that didn't work too well, though. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes just because you may be compatible is just not that right person for you. Right. That's just not the right Sagittarius person for you. Okay.
And it could have been the wrong time. Wrong time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some extra baggage being carried into the relationship.
Right.
By either partner.
Mm-hmm. Let's just take a quick break and then we'll come right back and we're going to get on some sexy bedroom talk.
Ha ha.
She looked me in the eyes and I swear she saw my soul. This world is too cold, I just wanna grow old. Have kids with you, too many mothers bury their sons. But just know, all good things don't happen under the sun. It's universal, speak positive to my peers. You see nothing but negative years and sharing their tears. But just remember that there's another side where we go. When we die, firm help multiply, smiles and cries behind. No access to emotions, we got to sit down and go.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Okay, you are listening to The Lotus Place. If you would like to call in and ask a question about your compatibility, just dial 641-715-3660. Participant code is 549032. Press pound, and then just press star 61, and we will get you in. I know we have a Virgo on the line, so let me read about Virgo best matches. Also, best matches for Virgo the Virgin would be Taurus, Cancer, and Capricorn. Those are your best matches, Virgo.
But can I, you absolutely correct, Black Rose. But Black Rose, can I say something real quick before get started? Well, you know what? The best match for me is when you can take care of me. Because, you know, that is my favorite talk now. If you can take care of me. You can be ugly and got one eye, and I will take you and get you a false eye. But if you're working and taking care of me, we good to roll. But if you can't work and take care of me, and you ain't got none, come on now, you got to get the best of me. That's the main key, and we got to teach our ladies that, and we got to teach our young girls that, because we got a lot of young college students are listening to us on the phone and listening at us out on the radio, and we need to let them know that don't be the one providing for the man and taking care of the man, because I know I have little nieces, and my nieces, they have good jobs. They're very good jobs. They are RNs and all different types of degrees. It's no harm in getting a man that work on the back of a garbage truck if that's what you choose. But if
they have benefits,
hard,
they work for the city, they have some benefits.
But if he work hard and help take care of you, don't get one that you got to take care of. Don't get one that you got to give money to. That's where the problem come in at, is when you got to pull the whole load by yourself. So, so young ladies tonight, we want you to know, don't settle for anything that you got to take care of. Because look, I know a lot of young girls like look, but you can't take that look down to that
and, car. And they like the sex. They like the sex.
Girl, let me back it up. Let me back it up, Black Rose.
You cannot take a penis down to the light bill and talk about how good it is. You cannot take a penis to the cardinal and tell the cardinal he rolled it on me all night long. You cannot take the penis down to the war bill place and tell them how big and juicy it is. They're going to tell you them light and water and cardinal and mortgage. It's finna get cut off. And you're going to get out.
And he'll leave you after all
and
that.
And he's going to leave you because he's not going to have nowhere to stay. And half of them is living off these young girls. And these young girls, they got to realize that it's time for you to stop being a fool. Be a winner. And a winner is when you seek wise decisions. Do not let nobody come in and camp off of you. When the government set you up, and listen, let me say this, and they done got so slick now, the men's ears, they'll go and get them a woman with 10 kids, or 5 kids, just so they can lay at home and claim they babysitting so you can get out and work and take care of them. Young girls, do not be that big a fool, because it isn't. I'm an old woman. and it ain't that much a good penis in the world. The best thing to me is when you pull me up at that store and I can be able to buy what I want and drive what I want. And if you can't do that, you got to keep it rolling. And that's my thought to the young girls tonight, our college students who are always listening in.
So
your good advice.
Yeah, your advice to them, Mother Dunning, is Delta Cougar, is to find you a man that is able to be a provider. And I know, like in tell me, in Kojic, is that something that? Because I know you said in Kojic. Church, in the Kojic Church, they do give you guys some advice in terms of relationships and being a woman. So is that something that is taught in Kojic Church?
That is something that's taught in Kojic. But it also teaches us once we marry, that's it. Now, I'm not saying people don't get divorced. They do get divorced, but they teach you not to. And they teach you once you marry, that's it. And a lot of them, when you get a divorce, you get a stigma on you if you jump up and get a divorce. It's like a stigma on you. You can never really truly, truly get over it. They can't let it go. They literally can't let it go. And so, yes, they do teach us that. They teach all of this I just said. They teach, well, my pastor, they teach that you got to get someone to provide for you, and they mostly, in my pastor, pushes education for the young girls and boys and girls. He pushes that to the most highest because my pastor has a degree in sports medicine, and he taught at Alabama State for 10 years, and he and his wife taught in Alabama too. Before they came out and started pastoring, but they both are highly educators, and both of their daughters have master's degree, and one of them is working on her doctor's degree. So they are not married, and they pushes that. I mean, they really pushes education for young girls because they say young women need to be able to take care of themselves. Because they said if you get a husband, now this is what we taught, if you get a husband and if you happen to separate because you don't stay with nobody that's beating you. But now if they beat you, now this is what he said, if you can get a divorce, but they really don't like for you to remarry. So that's just the way they are.
So just stay unhappy.
No, I don't say stay unhappy.
Stay alone.
But that's what the Bible said. The Bible said the only reason you can get a divorce is except for adultery. Other than that, you know.
No beating.
You know.
Nothing by beating.
Nothing by beating. But now, this is what he said. Now, let me rephrase that. If you get a divorce if your husband's beating you, you're really not supposed to remarry because the Bible said the only way you can get a divorce is except for act of adultery. And that's in the Bible.
Well, I heard that. Icy Hot.
Yes.
So what do you think about divorcing? I mean, what if you're not sexually compatible with someone? Do you think a woman should stay with that person? Like, if everything else is pretty good, but the sex just is like, oh, my God, this is horrible. Do you think a woman should stay in that relationship? Maybe tip out on the
side? Not just about that one aspect. No, I don't think you should. Well, number one, you would have to back up to, if we would wait a little bit and let God help us with the choices that we make and that find us, we'll be all the better. It'll be there. But I don't think that's all the part of the marriage. It's just that one aspect of sexuality, because you could be having no sex and have a great provider, which is what the man is supposed to do with the woman in a marriage.
May I have an input on that too?
when mother had to finish this. Go ahead, ice hot, ice hot.
Oh, okay. So I don't think that that's just one dimensional there in terms of people being together. I know me personally, I wouldn't stay with anyone who's harming me physically. And I understand that the Bible says what the parameters are for only for a divorce, but then at the same time, I think that I guess that's just one thing. You still should be able to have a companion if you want. And it's not Bible, no. But if people want to have companions, they should. There's a scripture that says you should never get married in the first place, because then you can't devote all your time to God, woman, because you're supposed to be devoted to God. And when you get married, you're paying attention to a husband.
I declare. Okay. And Ozzy, you have something to say, then we'll bring in Matangi. Because I know people are waiting to hear about this sex.
Okay. If two people are together and the sex is just blah, not happening, first of all, somebody needs to speak up, because year after year after year of no sex, that's blocking your creative energy. Sexual energy is very strong. It's not as strong as the love energy, but your sexual energy is your creative energy. And when you block that, that affects you all over. Even men say that if they don't get sex, then they get what they call quote-unquote blue balls. And that affects a person. If you can't release yourself, it shows up in everything. It shows up in how you react to your partner, how you talk to your partner, how you relate to other people, because you're all pent up. I don't believe in tipping out, because that's going to ruin the marriage as well. But if you have to get some kind of marriage counseling, then do that. But first, it needs to be brought out to the partner that something needs to change, because sex is a part of two people being together. Now, if both of them are happy that there's no sex, then that's good. But if one person is unhappy because they're not getting the sexual release, that's gonna eventually ruin the marriage, and that's going to eventually cause one person to be totally, totally unhappy. And why be with somebody if you're totally, totally unhappy? If you're unhappy. So that's my thoughts on that. A lot of people don't feel that sex is important, but it needs to be both people thinking that way, not just one person thinking that way.
Yeah, I think if one person is unhappy or not being fulfilled, then I think that could cause some kind of distress in the relationship. So sexual compatibility is important. But like as Mother Hattie said, if that's not like the primary thing for both partners, then yeah, that's fine. There's some people that don't have sex together, don't have sex, and they just have a beautiful relationship and everything is fine. So hey, if that works for you, then that works. Let me just play like 1 or 2 minutes of this clip on Aries Woman in a Relationship. That's me. And then we're going to bring in Matangi. Let me get Matangi ready. And
the Aries Woman in a Relationship. She is a journey of unnecessary obstacles, drama, and challenges. So if you are a rough, tough guy who doesn't mind letting her take charge, this is your girl. Through the Aries in a Relationship, she seeks a rugged individual with little emotional needs and a healthy libido. See, her goal is not really to fall in love. This woman is not the romantic type female. She doesn't have to have the picket fence and roses and all of this romance in her life. And it's not that she doesn't really want it. It's mainly because she fears the hurt and pain and rejection that can come along with it. So what she does is she'll lock up her heart for a long time and rebel against opening it. Now, she doesn't really demand romance, but her thing is that she demands attention. And her emotional needs are very few. So if you can just give her attention and make her feel needed in a relationship, and she generally chooses a guy, not her typical guy, but a man who needs her, like maybe a disabled body. Yeah, someone who needs her. She needs to feel needed in the world because she often feels as though she's really not wanted or needed. So to have this in a relationship would be her main goal, her main desire, if you will. So if you are the type of guy who's all over the place and you're not really in touch with your affectionate side, you will have a problem because she has to have attention. On the flip side of that, she doesn't have to have the finest things in life. She's not high maintenance by far. Unless, of course, she grew up in wealth, this is not really that woman who has to have diamonds and furs. She prefers simpler things like walking in the park or along the beach and sharing an ice.
Okay, so I think we are ready. Now, some of what she said is true. I can say that. I do like my attention. If I'm not getting that attention, baby, I'm going to go somewhere where I can get it. So I can't deal with people that don't want to give me the attention that I need. I don't need you fawning all over me and trying to hold my hand everywhere we go. But I do like that attention. Like, we can be in a room and you're on the other side of the room and I'm over here. Us just giving each other that little eye contact and a little smile. That right there, that's like foreplay to me. So, yeah, I love it, love it, love it, love my attention. We'll pick back up on some more clips next Friday because I have quite a few clips and I'm just not going to have time to play them because we do want to bring Matangi in. Matangi, are you ready? Come on, give us some tantric sex. What's tantra? What's tantric sex and how we do it, how we have it? What is it all about?
Okay. Tantra, let's talk about tantra. Mm-hmm. Tantra is it's a way of life. It's like yoga. It's more of a spiritual type of element. It's not a religion. It's not something that's just practiced by certain groups of people. You can be Christian. You can be Buddhist. You can be whatever. Tantra sex is more about spirituality. It's more about two people coming together on a spiritual level. And with that, when it comes to tantric sex, you have more passion, more intense sexual experience. It's a lot of foreplay. With Western sex, it's more physical. It can be over with in 10, 30 minutes. If you got a really good relationship, a sexual relationship with your partner, it may last up to an hour. But with tantra sex, it's so much more. You reach heights of passion that you never could dream of because you take attention away from just penetration. It's about getting your partner all in the mood. You mentioned foreplay. A lot of foreplay in tantra sex. You tantalize and engage your five senses. Smell, taste, sight, touch, and sound. With smell, you have the aromas. You got the oil burning. You get your partner ready. You got the nice fragrance, the frankincense. If you're into incense, you know, you get a mellow incense. It's gonna play with your sense of smell. Then with the taste, you use sexy foods, you feed each other strawberries, chocolate. It's something really sexy about taking a strawberry and then putting it into your partner's mouth, or taking a piece of chocolate and feeding your partner. Then you go with the sight. Ladies, look sexy. Wear something that's just slightly revealing. You can have a sheer cover up, but then something that he can see through. He can see your nipples showing through the sheer cover up. You have on these sexy little panties. Don't get the bloomers to cover up all your behind. That's not sexy. That's
Delta,
not sexy.
Delta, throw the bloomers out.
Throw the bloomers out. If you want your man to come on to you, if you want him to feel sexy. Look the part. Sight. Get that sight going.
And
look
take your hair bonnet off. Take your hair bonnet off before bed and you know. Like
fix
you said,
your hair.
Yeah.
Fix your hair. Put on a little lipstick even. You know, you're going to kiss it all off. But it's all playing into that sight, playing into your senses. The touch. Mm-hmm. Use your fingers to play over your partner's body. Get you some oil, spread it all over their body. Know your partner's body. Know what turns him or her on. Have them lie on the bed and massage that oil, and then take your finger and just make little twirls over their body and watch them shake and shiver. And then you'll know, oh, he liked that part. He liked when I went there. Know what your partner likes. Know what turns them on.
Exactly. Let me just say something really quick, Matangi. There was
a book
called, I think it was Sexual Astrology. And that book listed each and every erogenous zone for each person, you know, based on your zodiac sign. So, like, for Aries, and we'll have a show on this as well. For Aries, my erogenous zone is my head. Because Aries is the head of the zodiac sign, and you know Aries is a ram, and ram uses their head for a lot. So I'm prone to like head injuries. Supposed to be prone to headaches too. And I've in my older years, I noticed that I'm having a lot of headaches. I didn't used to have headaches. But like my head is my erogenous zone. So like if somebody pulls my hair during sex, or you know rubs my hair while we're like sitting in the car or whatever, something like that, while we're sitting down watching TV. That to me is foreplay. I love that. Okay, so I just had to say this. So I think that that's very poignant as well. Find out what are your what your mate's erogenous zones are. If it's their chest, under their arms, their anus, or whatever, their ankle, whatever it is, find out what it is and work on that little erogenous zone. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You're breaking up. I'm not the tricky.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
I'll just be quiet.
Erogenous. Kind of, I mean, it's hitting me on my. Especially if I'm. It's like, oh, you. This turns me on. I'm not.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up a little bit.
I'm breaking up?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a little better now. If anyone has a question for Matangi, feel free to jump in and ask her a question now. This is also question and answer.
Okay. And from the put a nice music. Put on some Teddy Pendergrass screen. That who's my favorite? Oven all
you're breaking up.
See it appealing. Again?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Can anybody else hear her?
I guess that sexy talk blowing the line up.
I guess so, huh? Got the lines on fire.
Got the line.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can we hear you?
Got his breath. Hello?
Okay, we went blank a little bit there.
Well, I think you got I think you got technical difficulty.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's technical difficulty tonight, because that's what happened with me.
Okay,
but
so
you know what? I was gonna say, you know, when a man and a woman first meet each other, they be acting like they so in love. What goes wrong over a period of time? Sometimes you don't even
think. All the mystery is gone. The whole thing is conquered. The whole thrill is all out of the bag. And a lot of people, and I don't know if it's men and women, probably, after they look at, I think, some kind of a conquest of, oh, if I could get him to do this, if I can get her to do that. And once they got him or her to do this or that, which is usually under the marriage bed, that's what happens. Then all the interest is gone. It was a conquest for them. I think that's what happens to a lot of people.
I've got some tips to bring the chair back into your bed. Am I still breaking up?
Yep.
Yeah. See how I can hear a thing. Well, I'll keep talking. The things that we after we've been together for a while start to get the same thing year after year, then somebody.
You said after being together year after year, somebody what? You broke up.
Someone is going to get bored.
Oh, okay. So
bored.
That's why we need to bring something different into the bedroom.
Exactly.
Think it's okay to bring in some black leather and a whip?
Is it okay to bring in like some extra additional objects into the bedroom, like maybe a black whip?
Dressing up in a cartoon.
Matangi, I don't know what happened, but you're breaking up really bad.
Every other word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll just pick back up next week and let you finish up on that topic.
Yeah.
So I can answer that though, Delta. I think that it's perfectly fine. I have a black whip that I have not used. I've been having it for probably 7 years and I still haven't used it. But I sure would like to.
God.
Yeah, I mean, I do. It's just a small one. I got it from South Street in Philadelphia, and I was so excited about it. I thought by now I would have used it and should probably bought another one by now, but I haven't. I haven't even used that one. And
so are you
going to
buy a bigger one?
Well, I'm not going to buy a bigger one until I can master using that little one, but I do, I'll tell you this, one of my little secrets I have, I do have some crotchless panties. So, Delta, maybe you want to...
What is that?
There's no crotch in your panties. They're crotchless panties. So, they're just, you know, you slip them on, but, like, you know, where your opening is, where your vagina is, there's no crotch. So, that way, you know, it's just kind of like sexy, like, you know, a man can, you know, just go right there into it, you know?
Easy action.
Yeah. Crotchless panties. And Delta, they also have the edible panties. So, you know, you can get you some little edible panties where the man can, your husband can eat the panties off of you. And I think they have like a little flavor
different
to them.
Positions.
Hmm? You said different
people,
positions?
Sexual positions, the same traditional, call it.
You know, people that had those back surgeries and can be getting in all them different positions and neck surgery, you'd be like, hurt yourself trying to twist around there.
Body all fused, backbone fused together. Hip got pins in it.
Yes.
Kneecaps all broke.
Yeah. Get down on the floor and get your doggy style. You broke me.
I couldn't resist that.
Look, I I'll say I'm falling and I can't get up.
Oh gosh, that's funny.
And we'll have to pick back up next Friday because we have more clips to play and we'll get Matangi in earlier. I let the time slip by. So Matangi, be ready for us next Friday and bring us some of that hot piece of sex talk. Oh, because I'm not getting any sex right now, so I like to hear other people's stories.
All right.
We can do a vibrator. Uh-uh. I don't do vibrators. Those make me ill. No vibrators for me. No vibrators, no dildos. But Delta, go to the sex store and get you one and let us know how it works.
Okay.
Peace and good night.
Good night.